The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors wearing their badges in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. From the College for Creative Studies in downtown Detroit, Michigan, Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here.
As always.
And my badge is off my neck. I'm sick and tired of wearing that thing already. So.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
It's heavy.
It is. It's heavy. Well, Did you take it off right when you get in your car to leave
every
campus?
Every chance. Every chance.
I see.
My geek badge.
We are new to this world. Slightly.
Yeah. It's a yoke.
It's a yoke of oppression?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the way you actually think about
it? It's heavy.
Now, I see that sitting just to your right, coming to us today from the Department of Psychology, Professor Steve Abel is wearing his badge proudly. Yoke or, symbol of security? What do you think, Steve?
Well, it's to make me fully human. I think at all times, so of course I'm going to wear it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh, my. Also proudly wearing his UDM lanyard. How could you miss it? Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies.
Yes, it has completed my humanity, too. Divinity next.
Or immortality.
I can't wait for us to get around the table to Beth because it's going to be very difficult for everybody to see. But I got this done on November 7th. And for that day, since I did it in the morning, I looked exactly like the photo in my ID for the rest of the day. And I was like, this is pretty meta now that you think about it. Like, there's no way you mistake me for a photo that was taken of me this morning.
Whoa.
But everything after that is all downhill. Let's see. I don't see a badge. No badge, Diane Manica from Education.
She's
no
unbadged.
Badge at all.
But she sparkles.
Well, but it is identifying my desk.
Okay. Excellent. So we know where you work. We know where you work. Excellent.
Oh, let's see yours.
Oh, yes.
Woo! His extends.
Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies has it on one of those retractable cords.
And it has a unique name that we can't say on.
Mine isn't actually a yoke. It's a bad yoke.
Oh, okay. Is that your picture?
No.
It came with a wallet.
It came off Google Images, and so did the fake name and the fake scan thing.
I see. Very interesting. So the only purpose it has is for entertainment, is what you're telling me.
Entertainment, and it kind of deflects the attention of the law enforcement officers who may be looking for badges.
Ninja strangulation, right?
Oh my gosh.
That's right.
I know I've told this story before, but a friend of mine's father swears he was pulled over by the police once and had cut out a picture of John Paul II, put it over his driver's licenses as he hands it over to the cop. Some people say I look like the Pope. Totally lets him out of the ticket. I was just like, I gotta try that someday. You know? Oh my gosh. Okay, so now we are at Professor Beth Oljar from Philosophy. Any commentary? I see you're wearing your badge semi-proudly.
Well, yes, but notice I don't have the UDM lanyard.
Oh, yeah,
I have it
true.
On. I've always worn the key to my office around just in case I happen to be wearing an outfit where I don't have pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it on my UW Huskies.
Yes, I see that it's
lanyard,
Huskies colors
so.
There. Very
she
nice.
She has a Husky
very nice.
Badge.
Yes.
And you're fully human and you're not locked out this way.
Exactly.
Oh, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. Frankly, if you want to go to facebook.com/udmatp, you can check us out there. Or you can send the questions, good old USPS, to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. When last we left our heroes, we were taking on some questions. So very long ago, wow, that's two lion losses ago, Beverly Hollis of Redmond, Washington, had some questions. We only had a couple more that we had to do from her, so I think we should finish those up. These questions were sort of all over the map, and you folks were doing all right. You'll remember we finished with how many pints are there in a yard of ale, and someone hit it spot on, so 2.5 is the answer.
Wait,
I think it was Dan. Yeah, I think
where's she
Dan.
From in Washington?
Hollis? Did I get that? Oh, Beverly Hollis of Redmond, Washington.
Oh.
So isn't that where Microsoft is?
That's right.
Yes.
Nintendo is there?
It's on the
Nintendo.
Eastern side of Lake Washington, and yep. Bill Gates owns pretty much the entire western side
interesting.
Of Lake Washington.
Okay, well, let's carry on with what city was the famous adventurer/womanizer Casanova from? I didn't know this.
Spanish, right?
Venice, wasn't he?
It says Venice here.
Oh, yeah. He's Italian.
I would have said he was Spanish, yeah. too.
That's where he did his shows exploits. What I know.
Exploits. Got it. Venice. Even Indiana Jones. For saying that.
Yes. All those gondolas he could ride around in the dark.
On the TV show Friends, have any fans in the audience here? What area of science did Ross Geller have his PhD from?
Oh, wasn't it paleontology?
Paleontology! Well done. Yes, and Professor Tubbs is often
gave
with
the dorkish image to paleontology.
That's right. I vividly remember the episodes where Phoebe was just, for whatever reason, standing against evolution. And at every possible move, Ross was showing his thumbs, going, look what I can do. Opposable thumbs.
Speaking of opposable thumbs, I was telling my, I don't know how we started talking about Amazon, but I was telling my students in logic, you could buy anything on Amazon, right? I gave you examples from the filters for my cat's water fountain, right? To the Weber grill that I bought. And so one of my students asked, well, how do they use the water fountain?
They wanted to know about the water fountain.
Because it's just one of those, you know, it's like
recycling.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, well, it doesn't actually have a little handle. Because they don't have opposable thumbs, so, you know, it would be kind of hard.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
So they have to lower their faces into the bowl. And
extend their tongues.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
But they drink more water.
Good. Very good. And it's clean water. It's relatively clean.
It's filtered. Yes. It's actually, Dan Maggio has one for his cat, which used to be Kathy Bush's cat for Goofy. Yeah, and that's how I knew what kind to get.
Very nice.
For my big fat boys.
You truly can get anything from A to Z on Amazon, hence their logo, which says from A to Z.
Right? Socks to vacuum cleaners.
That's right. What was Tony Curtis's unusual quirk about his shoes? I'm afraid I've never heard this before, but if it's true, it's very interesting. He had an unusual quirk regarding his footwear, the famous actor.
He put lifts in them, didn't he?
Not lifts.
No slip-ons. No lace.
Brand.
I can give you a hint. He only ever wore loafers.
No, he didn't have stilettos and stuff like that.
He didn't have tie shoes.
Very close. He said that laces were bad luck, and he never wanted them on his feet. Isn't that interesting? Laces are bad luck.
Fear of laces.
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
Fear of everything.
Yeah. Pantophobia.
Do you think you suffer from pantophobia?
Omniphobia.
Yeah, omniphobia. What folk singer's autobiography was titled Bound for Glory?
Was that Woody Guthrie?
Woody Guthrie. Yes. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Let's see. During the 1984 presidential election, Walter Mondale mocked this candidate with the line, "Where's the beef?" To whom was he speaking?
Ronald Reagan, wasn't he?
Was it Reagan?
George H.W. Bush.
No. This is Mondale, I believe, during the primary season. I want to say this person ran Democrat. Mm-hmm.
Gary Hart?
It was Gary Hart. Gary Hart.
That was
the big scandal.
That was the first
from Grace.
Donna Rice.
The names of the women involved are amazing.
Donna Rice on the monkey business.
Right after he invites the press to come, you know, inspect his personal life, because you know that was the first presidential election I voted in. I remember.
Now we have an extension of that joke that, what was it, Jimmy Fallon, Conan O'Brien, you know, whoever, had made about Einstein philandering. And, you know, if you can't get away with it when you're the smartest man who's ever lived, men, learn your lesson. You're never going to do it. There's the Petraeus extension now. This man was in charge of the intelligence for the most powerful country in the world.
Couldn't figure out how to keep his email secret.
Couldn't find a way to keep his email secret. So, men, you can't do it. Which book of the Hebrew Bible refers to Israel as a land flowing with milk and honey?
Genesis.
It's not Genesis.
Exodus.
It's Exodus.
Exodus, yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was the goal.
Came. Yep. When Daryl Strawberry won Rookie of the Year in 1983, which team was he playing for?
The Yankees.
Not the Yankees. He was playing for the Mets.
I was in the right state.
Meet the Mets. You were in the right city, Beth. Give yourself a...
Not quite the right borough.
Yeah. Not the right borough, though. Right, exactly.
I know nothing about baseball.
Mm-hmm. Who is Reverend Jimmy Swaggart's famous rock and roll cousin?
Jerry Lee Lewis. Jerry Lee.
Yes, and when we use the word cousin, when we talk about Jerry Lee Lewis, it has all sorts of interesting things. Yeah.
Could also refer to a more intimate member of the family.
Yes, he married someone 20 years his junior who was just
married
16.
Married his cousin. She was 13. 16, no, she was 13.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she was
13.
Oh, my.
Wow. Junior achievement, Jim.
So props.
They at least waited until they were 14 before they got married.
Staying in the realm of entertainment, what famous actor was dating Lyndon Johnson's daughter in hopes of staying out of the war? I don't know exactly how you'd be able to verify someone's motivation, but it certainly sounds interesting. Well, I'm dating the president's daughter, so I can't be drafted. Who might that be? It sort of fits the bill. It sort of fits the bill.
I was thinking George Hamilton. Dave,
you're exactly right. Okay. Wow. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Good guess.
I was about to say better known for his permatan than pretty much anything else. But
Lucy Baines and Linda Murray.
Although, yes, as Robin Williams says in Good Morning Vietnam, that when the president was asked, why did you name her Linda Bird? And he said, because Linda Dog would have been too cruel.
As he picks up his own dog by the ear.
Yes.
They passed a law that his daughters couldn't ride in convertibles on Texas freeways.
Oh, my gosh.
Linda Dog would have been a good rap name, though.
Yeah.
That would have been good. Yeah. Speaking of names, great transitions today, professors. What name did heiress Patty Hearst adopt when she joined the Symbionese Liberation Army?
Tanya.
Tanya, she was known as. That's right. Reminds me of Tanya's Pizza in Royal Oak. Don't think about that. I got
everything
an idea for dinner tonight,
you of
honey.
Food.
Yes, exactly.
Food's good.
Food is good. What feature on a modern pinball machine was once called a stool pigeon?
The tilt.
The tilt. Yeah, absolutely. Not many people know what pinball is anymore.
I love pinball.
I love pinball too.
That's
fun.
Used to play it a lot.
About 20, 25 years more.
Did you have one in the bar?
I don't even know if you'll be able to explain it to somebody.
So the song will make no sense to them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There'll be virtual pinball games forever on your cell phone.
Yeah, well yeah. Frankly, no, a cell phone gyroscope could help you by learning what tilt is. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. What famous magazine ceased publication on October 18th, 1971, after 34 years of print? One word title.
Life.
Look. Look is what it was. Yep. Mm-hmm. Not life, but look. Pretty well done. Look, I mean, Jim.
Life went and came back and went again.
That was
called Hammergon. Yeah.
It's reincarnation.
You guys are unstoppable. I don't know what more to say here. Pretty unbelievable. Although we do have another set of questions here. ATP panelists.
That would be us.
Hearing Professor Miles' request for new questions, I've taken a few moments away from the mild chill, that's a dig there, of the Nevada Knights to come up with a new set of 20 questions for your show. I hope they'll prove entertaining, challenging, and worthy to make the airwaves. I think that they exist, Michelle, so they are worthy of the airwaves on this show.
Yeah.
An 80% correct will be considered passing, not that it really matters, as I love hearing how you take our questions and wander all over the map with them. I don't know if that's a positive or negative thing or not. Sincerely, Michelle Horner. We've had her questions on the air before. Excellent. Thank you very much, Michelle.
Why do we keep on getting questions?
Oh, yeah,
she has good questions.
Warm weather people.
I know. If it's not, what is it?
They're sitting out by their
Frank,
pool,
you know,
moves.
Telling us about Valencia,
patio.
California.
I know.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, my.
They're floating in the pool on their laptops, listening, streaming our show.
On the laptop?
No, in the pool, floating on floats.
That's actually not what you said.
Oh, sorry.
But it's what he meant.
Yeah. It's my laptop.
Ah, yes.
It's
sure.
The
common
counts.
Refrain of students. But that's what I meant to say.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I can read your mind.
Yeah. Yes. It's very interesting. I had a conversation with a student this morning. We were arguing over some points on the last problem set. And it's like, well, you can make the assumption that I know more than you do about organic chemistry, but I don't know anything about what you know about organic chemistry until you tell me. So this minimalist answer that's like, because it's this way, is not really going to float the boat. How about you draw me some pictures, you know?
When in doubt, scream resonance.
Yeah, I know. What is the real first name of famed football coach Pop Warner, who gave his name to the Little Leagues of football, also called Pop Warner Leagues? Ooh. I'm guessing he was somebody's daddy.
Horatio.
No, it wasn't Horatio.
Was it John?
It wasn't John. That's a classic go right there.
But it was something kind of pedestrian like that, like Dave
like
or Ray or...
Yeah,
so pedestrian.
Starts with the letter G.
Jorge?
George. Glenn.
It wasn't. It was Glenn. Yep. It was Glenn. We got there. With two N's. Glenn Warner. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Now, Michelle is possibly making a minor political statement with this question. Mm. In what year did William Clay Ford purchase the Detroit Lions? You'll notice something about this year when you hear what the response is, or maybe you already know the answer.
Wasn't like I actually just read this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, was it like 67, 69 there?
It was 1964, ever since they've stunk buns, basically. Yeah. It was right before that that we had our NFL championship or whatever that was, and ever since it's...
Well, that was 1957, I think.
Was it 57? Well, okay, yeah, all right, right before. In the grand scheme of since then, it's right before.
I was thinking 29, like the stock market crash.
That's right, yeah.
That would have been fitting.
Oh, my.
Or the year the Edsel came out or something.
That's right, yeah, same year.
Or when the Mayan calendar fell apart.
The Fords brought the Edsel and bought the
Mayan. That's right. The Edsel came out, I believe. That was the first model year.
Well, there you go.
Was it 64? Oh, my God.
No, 57.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Where are you likely to find Bots Dots?
Oh, the side of the freeway.
Very good. They are the reflective dots that are bumps. In the road.
Yes. Those little bumps when you fall asleep at night, they go bump, 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 bump.
That's probably why they're there. Yeah. To keep us from falling asleep.
Or to wake us up.
Right.
I use caffeine. It's easier.
Oh. But you don't get to hear the bump, 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 bump.
Yeah, that's right. You miss the noise and the vibration.
Well, Steve just mentioned Keira Knightley and Professor Chow. You'll hear that sound coming from his beating heart.
Yes.
So this I've never heard before. It explains a lot for anybody who grew up or even incidentally was involved in the 1980s. You remember a line of toys slash cartoons about the Care Bears, the bears that had these symbols. They were invented by a company. What company was it? This is good. This
Hasbro?
Is a good question. It wasn't a toy company.
Oh.
Not Hasbro.
Was it like a greeting card?
Hallmark?
It was American Greetings. American you hit
greetings,
it right on.
Nice.
That is weird.
They had a greeting card with creepy little bears on it.
That's right.
They made them
let's
come
sell
to
this
life.
To children.
Yes, that's right. The card just isn't enough.
Zombie bears.
Oh, my. Oh, my. What car company's emblem is supposed to represent a spinning propeller from its early days of manufacturing?
Mercedes?
Not Mercedes.
Mercedes-Benz? No.
Isn't it BMW? Or is it Mercedes-Benz that has the propeller?
Mercedes.
Well, yeah. Mercedes has the three-bladed.
Yeah, symbol. It looks like
yeah, but I think BMW actually has the cross with the blue and the white in the middle. I think that's supposed to be a propeller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
My bad.
I think that was very ambiguous.
That's what I thought, too. And
I think Mercedes looks more like a propeller.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I think it looks more like a windmill.
Oh, I tell you what, let's debate while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
1995.
Thank you.
You're after welcome. Whom are Baby Ruth candy bars named?
President Kidd's wife. No. The president's
president's
kid. That's right. Grover Cleveland's daughter.
Yeah.
Ruth.
Yeah.
Was that an illegitimate? So yes. She's the one that, you know.
Is that where's my pa?
Gone to the White House.
That's right.
No, that was the Kennedy years.
No, that was Grover Cleveland. Mayor of Buffalo. Hey.
But now, aren't the ads trying to make some connection between Babe Ruth and...
Because they're written by idiots.
Oh, because they don't know.
That's right, they're stupid
Oh, they're
people.
Not, like, intentionally misleading.
No,
they just don't know.
Stupid people. Oh. Uneducated,
what?
Stupid people.
People in advertisement are stupid, Edwin? Is that what you're trying to
Edwin is leaving out the crucial point. They're uneducated, they're stupid, highly paid people.
That's
just
right.
They are.
But
we're not bitter, I'll say that.
No, not us.
We're too big for that.
We're generous of spirit.
And we are back with some more wonderful questions from Michelle Horner. Fantastic questions, Michelle. I will again put out a request for new questions for anybody who wants to send them in. The crazier, the better. We love them.
And when they range all over the map, that's awesome.
It's the best.
Oh, yeah.
Because
absolutely.
We do the same thing, so, you know.
Omni-questions.
Yeah, we were just talking about what BMW stands for, so why not follow it up with a question about the Brady Bunch? Which character...
Yeah. Natural segue.
Which character on the Brady Bunch show threw out her back in an episode trying to perform the hula dance?
Alice.
That was Alice.
Alice, of course.
And the next question as follow-up is, what was Alice's last name on that show? I did not watch the Brady Bunch.
Oh, my gosh.
I know Anne B. Wilson
Marsha.
Oh, Alice.
Remember when she got the football in the nose?
Oh, yeah.
Before the big date?
That's right.
And the time she had a zit. before her prom.
Was that the one where she went with Davy Jones?
Oh, my.
Davy Jones was her date.
Could be.
First world problems.
This is really embarrassing that we know this.
What was Alice's last name?
Very common last name.
Smith? Norris? Smith.
Not Johnson.
Jones.
Not Jones.
No. There goes our time.
David, no.
I'm thinking Ozzie and Harriet.
Nelson.
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 What two-digit number appears on every bottle of Rolling Rock beer? It's part of the logo.
Wow, it's been.
I believe it says old. This number. It's an interesting number. It doesn't have it a six.
31.
It's not 31. It's 33. Is what it said. I wonder if that has anything to do with anything. 33. Old 33. Huh. You know, could be the name of the horse that is always on that logo or something. Very interesting.
Good beer.
Pennsylvania beer. What was Johnny Appleseed's real last name, profs?
What's the Latin for apple?
Pum. P-O-M-M.
No, that's
But that
French.
Wasn't it.
That's French.
What do you guys think? I'm surprised you don't know that. I was sure people were going to jump on this one. Roy, call in the Roy Works.
Yeah, Roy.
Where's the historian?
Anderson?
No, I knew this one. It's Chapman. Johnny Chapman.
Oh, yeah. I think I've read that somewhere before.
I probably heard that in the third grade, but haven't since, and so it just kind of
third grade's a while ago.
It's sort of an interesting tale if you think about it. If even half of it is true, there's a reason why there's a high concentration of apple trees in the Midwest, and could very well be because of him. It's very interesting. In the Canadian rock... Oh, Canadian question.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
Canadian.
No pressure.
In the Canadian rock group Rush, what is Geddy Lee's real first name?
Oh, boy.
Wait a minute. He chose Geddy Lee?
The answer that I have here is yes.
Lost on a bet.
It should be... Lee? Ron Paul, because he's a libertarian. They all are. Geddy Lee certainly is a libertarian.
Is his first name really Lee?
No. He shares the same first name with the new dean of engineering and science on campus, which
Gary.
I know won't help Dave. Yeah, it's Gary. Gary is his first name.
Oh, take off, eh?
Sorry, I don't make the rules. I just read the questions. Okay. What household appliance is mentioned in the 1977 Linda Ronstadt hit Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me? Wow.
I just remember the album.
Is it a household appliance that's still in existence?
It is. It is, actually. And apparently it's a brand name and appliance. If you get either one of them, I got to give it to you. But I don't hear anybody humming or singing
Frigidaire?
Right now. So it's not a Frigidaire.
Maytag, yeah, that was what I...
No.
What, is it like a stove, a dishwasher,
But the song is called Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me.
That's the song. 1977.
So it's probably not your microwave or
something. Oh, good point. Good point. It's not your iPod, I can tell you that.
Fax machine. It was your fax machine.
It's my Potbelly stove.
Tupperware? It says here that she mentioned a wearing blender somewhere in the song. I was half expecting Professor Roach to reach for his phone. That's usually Dan that does that, actually, now that I think about it. I will not ever compare you two ever again. Okay. They may be sitting in the same seat for all the listeners now, you know. What late 70s, early 80s TV sitcom did Molly Ringwald get her first major showbiz break as a regular cast member?
Happy Days?
Facts of Life.
Facts of Life. It's a little bit forgotten. She was there at the end, I believe, right?
I don't recall. I just remember Molly Ringwald.
Yeah. I mean, these people don't really look like the same age as students anymore. Bring in the new cast. Jump the shark. Go out of business. That's the way it usually worked back then. Yep.
John Hughes.
Let's see. In Cab Calloway's Jive Speak, what are pounders?
Shoes?
Drummers?
They're not shoes. They're not drummers. They share same first letter. So there's something that begins with the letter P.
Piano players?
Not piano players. That would be a good guess. Yeah, that's a good one. Somebody you don't want coming in and, breaking up the whole joint.
Police.
The police, yes. Mm. It's the police.
Hmm. Presbyterians? Oh.
Those two.
Someone
they'll
break don't up your joint.
They do it decently and in order, however.
And very neatly.
Oh, my gosh. What Hollywood celebrity was known as El Squeako for being so cheap? Thank God it wasn't his or her voice.
Oh.
And it's not the nanny.
Oh, Jack Benny.
It wasn't Jack Benny. Oh. We're thinking a little bit older than that, actually.
Older than
Jack Benny.
One of the favorite comedy actors of the first round of Hollywood fame.
George Burns?
No, it wasn't Burns.
Red Skelton.
No, not Red Skelton.
Arthur Godfrey.
It says here, wow, supposedly he marked the level on the bottles of milk in his house to prevent the servants from taking a sip. Wowza.
No. Groucho Marx?
No, no. Wow. It says here it was Cary Grant who did that.
Nope.
No.
Yeah. It's like he seemed like he was just a regular old guy, didn't he?
Apparently good old Archie Leach.
You know, John Robey really doesn't seem like Mr. Swan, the sort of character who would do. He doesn't seem like that into Catch a Thief.
What he did with his bottles of alcohol.
Drank them.
Yeah, he drank them before they could get him.
He put locking caps on them. That's what he did.
Milk.
Oh. Who said, bigotry started a long time ago. Nobody knows where. Personally, I think the French started it.
Okay, probably Archie Bunker.
I did that in my best radio voice.
Could have been my husband, actually.
It wasn't Francois Mitterrand.
No. I did that in my best radio voice, profs.
Rush Limbaugh.
No, no.
Howard Stern.
No, this was said in parody. This was said in parody. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, Rush Limbaugh.
Parody. Yeah, Rush's self-parody. Let's see. What
I don't think it was Angelina Jolie. No.
But it was a radio personality?
It could have been a character radio personality. I have a feeling, sadly, if Dan were here, that we'd be done with this a few minutes ago. But maybe I'll let you chew on it a little while.
It's not
longer.
Don Imus.
No, it's not Don Imus. Not a real radio personality. A fake radio personality.
Oh, like Kelsey Grammer on...
No, but you're Grammer? Getting in the wheelhouse.
Is it from The Simpsons?
No, it's not from The Simpsons. A little further back.
So a DJ... Was it off? Is it somebody from WKRP?
Mm-hmm.
Is
like
it Johnny
Dr.
Fever?
Johnny
it was Dr. Johnny Fever. Oh. Oh man, that's really fun. That's a really funny line. Just out of context, it's hilarious. Oh
it
man, at the
show.
Risk of sounding unpopular, I blame the listeners. No, you
know. I remember when God had a conversation with Johnny and told him he wanted him to be a golf pro.
I remember that episode.
That hilarious.
Was God is my witness, gosh. I did not know turkeys.
And the turkeys, Les Nessman dropping all the turkeys out of because he thought they could fly.
I remember.
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, the humanity.
That was such a great show.
Great show. This is a very, very straightforward question. What is supposedly the most common sport played at nudist resorts? Supposedly, how do you take that data?
Volleyball.
I'm guessing, yeah, it's volleyball.
I heard that somewhere else.
Thank yeah, God. Right.
I was afraid you're gonna answer like ring toss or something like that.
You know, you get someone walking into your office. He's like, I think I've located my PhD thesis. I want to find out what is the most common sport played at nudist resorts. Wow.
No, wow. The dissertation would be on why, right?
Yeah,
volleyball as opposed to, you know...
Golf.
At contact sports.
You know? Shuffleboard. You know? Jeez. Oh, we can't get to the
and
rest
on
of
that
these
note,
questions. Because we gotta go. Please say goodbye, Professor Oljar.
Goodbye.
Professor Roach.
Adios.
Professor Manica.
See you next time.
Professor Tubbs.
Adios.
Professor Abel.
Farewell.
Professor Chow.
Toodaloo.
Now these words...
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed today by Adam Winbigler. And our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Of course, Michael Jason's always in there to help. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Thank you.